first is from John chapter 10, starting at verse 22, and it's on page 1528. Then we'll be popping over to 2 Peter chapter 1 on page 1733. So in John, then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Now to 2 Peter, chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Ruth. Well, please keep your Bibles open there as Jeff mentioned, look at our final question, our final tough question in our series. Can we lose our salvation? That's what we're looking at today. That's what we're looking at today. It's a really important question for us to wrap our head around. So why don't we pray that God would help us as we wrestle with it. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. Thank you that it is a source of comfort and hope and the knowledge of you. And so, Lord God, we pray that as we look at your word, as we wrestle with this question from the scriptures, that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we would understand your word, what you are saying to us, that we would believe it, and that we would take it to heart. And Lord God, please do these things for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, during the last number of years, there have been quite a number of very high-profile public deconstructions of faith. High-profile Christians who've basically walked away from Christianity. One such case that I can think of is that of Joshua Harris. Now, you might have heard of him. He wrote a very influential book when I was sort of in my sort of late teens, early 20s, called I Kissed Dating Goodbye. If you were sort of around my sort of era, you probably would have heard of it. It really did the rounds. Since then, he became the pastor of a very large church over in the US. And more than that, he taught the Bible really well. He affirmed the gospel. He commended Jesus. And yet in 2019, he took to social media to announce that he no longer considered himself a Christian. And later that he and his wife of 20 years were separating. That was a very public example of someone walking away from Christianity. But if you've been part of church, if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you probably know people in your own orbit that have done this as well, who've called themselves Christian, who seem quite genuine in their faith, that seem to be sort of living it out, and yet who ended up walking away from Jesus. Maybe for you it was a close friend, maybe a family member or a spouse. And the pain that comes from seeing someone walk away from Jesus can be quite profound. It can be quite disillusioning. And it can actually cause us to sort of raise questions about our own faith, doubts in our own minds, similar to what we saw last week. But instead of wondering whether we're a Christian now, the question rises, could I do that in the future? Could I lose my salvation? Have you ever had those thoughts? Like last week, if you have, then you're not alone. It's actually not uncommon for Christians in the face of someone walking away from Jesus to question whether they could ever do that. And so I think it's really important, it's vital for us to wrestle with this question together and see what the Bible has to say. So let's jump in and see what the Bible does have to say about whether or not we can indeed lose our salvation. But like we saw a number of weeks ago now when we looked at do we have free will, the Bible does say a couple of things in this space that we need to hold in tension. We need to hold them like train tracks in our minds. We don't want to collapse them. We get in trouble when we do that. We don't want to so emphasize one over the other that we sort of lose one. So with that sort of framework in mind, let's jump in and see what the Bible has to say to answer this question. Well, the first truth that God gives us in his word is that we can't lose our salvation because salvation belongs to God and he finishes what he starts. Now, this is all over the scriptures. And so let's look at a few places that make this point. And we're going to start with Jesus' words in John 10. We read this before. Jesus says this, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who's given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Jesus makes it very clear that for those who are his, those he's given eternal life to, no one's able to snatch them out of his hand or his Father's hand. That's a pretty secure place to be. But Jesus isn't the only one who says this in the Bible. Paul says this in his prayer for the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 4. He says this, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Paul, in this prayer for the Philippian Christians, he expresses his confidence that God will bring to completion what he started in them. In other words, the salvation that he began in them, he will finish it. It will be completed. God will finally bring them to glory. And one last passage for good measure. There are others that I could have included, but I think these are enough to make the point. The last one we're going to look at is Ephesians 1, verse 13. Paul says this, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." Here, Paul's saying that those who've believed in Christ, they've been given the Holy Spirit, who is a seal. Like a king putting a royal wax seal on an envelope, God stamps those who are his with the Holy Spirit, who guarantees their inheritance. He will make sure that those in Christ will persevere to the end. They will receive the eternal life that he promised them. Jesus and Paul and others who I haven't quoted, they make it very clear that God is the one who is the beginning, the origin, the source of our salvation. He began it in us. And these passages tell us that he will bring it to completion. Our salvation rests in his grace and mercy and power. And because it does, and because he finishes what he starts, those he saves will make it to the end. After all, we're told the Father holds us. And like I said in the kids' talk, those are the hands that flung the stars into space. Who on earth is going to pry his fingers apart to take us out of them? I mean, that's just impossible. In theology, we call this the perseverance of the saints. And this is actually one of the distinctions of the Presbyterian Church. But we think it's pretty grounded in the Bible. But you might be thinking to yourself, what about all those warning passages that warn Christians not to fall away? We are also a Bible-believing church. We want to wrestle with what the Bible says in all its entirety. And so we're going to have a look at Hebrews 6, verse 4, that says this. "It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away, to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they're crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace." This passage is part of a whole warning section in the book of Hebrews, where Christians are urged not to be like the Old Testament people of God in the wilderness. They were those who experienced God's salvation. They saw it. They even tasted it. And yet they rebelled against him and perished. The writer of Hebrews warns them, don't be like them. But he actually goes on to say a little bit later on in this passage, this same chapter, he's actually confident of better things for his readers. Things about salvation. These warning passages that we're given in Scripture, I don't think are designed to make us question whether or not someone can lose their salvation, whether they can walk away. After all, the passages we've already looked at make it very clear that those who are God's can't ever be snatched out of his hand. No, the purpose of these warning passages and our job is to listen to the warning and persevere in the Christian life. We'll actually talk about that more in the next point. But God actually puts these warning passages in the Bible specifically as one of the ways that he keeps those who are his. That's their purpose. John Calvin, a famous Christian in the 1500s, he calls these warning passages God's reins of salvation. God uses them like the reins of a horse to keep us going, to keep us persevering in the faith. After all, Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice." those who belong to God will listen to these passages. These are one of the ways that he keeps us. These are just another expression of God's commitment to preserve those who are his. It's God's power and grace that will ultimately bring us safely home. It's a bit like when I find myself interstate or in Brisbane or somewhere away from home and I'm wanting to get home. Quickest way I do that these days is book a flight. So I go to the airport and jump on the plane. But once I board a plane, does it then rest on me to make sure I make it home? No, it doesn't. I might be a super confident flyer, or I might be a nervous wreck, hyperventilating the entire time. I could be a model passenger, or I could be that guy. But at that point, if I'm on the plane, I'm making it home. It ultimately doesn't rest in my power. It rests in the power of the engineers to have made the plane flight worthy. And it rests in the power of the pilot to fly me straight. It rests in power beyond mine to bring me home. This is what our salvation is like according to the Bible. Only unlike my example, God is also the one who actually puts us on the plane. And then he's the one who holds and guarantees to bring us safely home. This has been a source of profound comfort for Christians for the last 2,000+ years. If you belong to God, then your salvation is secure. God has you in his incredibly powerful and loving hands. He will finish what he started in you. He will bring you home to glory. And he's given you his Spirit to 100% guarantee that you will inherit the eternal life that he promised you. If you belong to God, you cannot lose your salvation. That's what God is saying to you in these scriptures. But then, what do we think about those who walk away from the faith? Well, there's one of two things going on. Either they never truly belonged to God, they just got to experience the benefits of being part of God's family for a while, or they do genuinely belong to God still. God's just letting them experience the fruit of their rebelliousness in order to eventually bring them back with a greater appreciation of his grace. You know what? We never know which is which. We can't see into people's hearts. And so if you do know someone who's walked away, don't give up hope on them. Yeah, Hebrews 6 might tell us that it's hard for people to be restored once they've tasted the goodness of being part of God's people. But we also see it elsewhere in Scripture that Jesus delights to restore. After all, Peter himself, the apostle, he denied Jesus. And yet Jesus brought him back, restored him. And so if you have loved ones, don't give up on them. I think you keep praying for them. Keep gently talking to them about God and Jesus. Ensure we can entrust them to God's loving and powerful hands. God is the one who can keep us and our loved ones from stumbling. He's the one that can preserve us to the end. This is the clear testimony of Scripture. But that does raise some questions, doesn't it? If God is the one who guarantees our salvation, then I think the obvious question to ask is, do we then have any responsibility for our own salvation? Well, that brings us to the second track that the Bible gives us, which is yes, of course we do. We do still have a responsibility to keep persevering in our faith. He holds us, yes, absolutely. But like the warning passages imply, we still have a responsibility to keep holding on to him. Let's look at two great passages that make this point and show us how we can actually hold these two things together. We're going to start by looking at Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. This is actually one of my favorite passages, because in it, Paul calls us to keep persevering in our faith, to keep holding on to Jesus, to keep working out our salvation. And he calls us to take that pretty seriously. He says, do it with fear and trembling. Now, do note, it's not working for our salvation. It's not our works that save us. It's Christ's work on the cross and in his resurrection that saves us. But here he's calling us to work in response to our salvation, work out the salvation that Jesus gives us. And as I mentioned, we're to take that pretty seriously. But as Paul goes on to say, the very reason that we can take it seriously is because God is the one working in us to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose, which, as we've looked at earlier in the letter, was to bring to completion what he started in us. Knowing that God is the one who will bring us home is why we can work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Similarly, Peter says this in his second letter, which we read before. In 2 Peter 1:10, he says this, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble, and you'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter here is calling on Christians to confirm their calling and election. Now, we covered election a number of weeks ago now. It's the idea that God chooses those who will be his before the foundation of the world, before the creation. And this actually works hand in hand with what we're looking at today. He decided those who would be his before he ever even made us. And he will ensure that we remain his into eternity. He will make sure that we persevere to the end. But Peter doesn't say, you're elect. You've got your golden ticket. You can just sit back now and relax and not do anything. No, he says the precise opposite. He says, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. And based on what he's just said before this, that means adding to your faith goodness. Adding to your goodness, mutual affection and love and perseverance and self-control. Trying to grow in godliness, putting sin to death. These aren't quick or easy things that he's calling us to do. But these are the ways that we confirm our calling and election. In both of these passages, Paul and Peter, they're urging Christians to take their Christian faith seriously, to work it out with fear and trembling, to confirm their calling and election. But in both cases, he grounds that effort that we're meant to put in God's prior work in us. It's him working out his purposes of bringing us home. It's him working out his election in us. That's what enables us to persevere. It's not an either or. It's a both and. And it's actually God's holding us that gives us the ground and confidence to keep persevering. I think this is a little bit like paddling across a dam. A couple of years ago, I was staying at Moogara Dam, which is sort of southwest of Brisbane. It's a beautiful part of the world. And the place that we were staying in was like right on the water. And they had a whole bunch of like canoes and kayaks and paddleboards and all that sort of stuff. And one day, the blokes that I was with decided to try and paddle out to the dam wall, which is about 3 kilometres away. Now, if I had to swim that far, I wouldn't even attempt it. I'm just not that strong a swimmer, right? I'd just drown. Like, that's what would happen. I would be very confident of that. But I didn't have to swim. I had a stand-up paddleboard. And this gave me confidence to give it a crack. I had something that supported my weight, that would ensure that I didn't drown, which gave me the confidence to keep paddling, even when I grew fatigued, which, let me tell you, I did. Turns out 6 kilometers is a long way to stand up paddleboard, particularly for someone like me who'd never done it before. That was a long way. But I was able to keep going because I had something underneath me, buoying me up, ensuring I didn't drown. That's what enabled me to keep going. I think this is the dynamic of the Christian life. If we had to ensure that we made it to eternity based on our own strength and effort, I suspect most of us would give up. That's a long way to go. And we're just not that strong. But that's not the case. God tells us if our faith is in Him, He will never let us go. Nothing will snatch us out of His hand. He will preserve us fully and finally till the end. And He tells us that precisely to give us the confidence to keep persevering, to take our faith seriously, to keep trying to battle sin in our lives and grow in godliness. So if your faith is in Christ, please know that God has you. He's got you in His hand. Through all the ups and downs of life, despite your own sinfulness and your own lapses and your struggles, God has you. Rest secure in that. But then let that security help you persevere. Let that lead you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. To keep battling your sin whenever you become aware of it. Keep trying to put it to death. And when it wins around, when it leaves you bruised, don't give up. Keep getting up. Keep going to Jesus to find forgiveness and grace in Him. And then, as Peter says, keep trying to add to your faith goodness. Keep trying to add to your goodness, perseverance, and mutual affection and love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Keep trying to put on love and self-control. Keep making use of God's means of offering you His grace, His word and prayer and your brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen to the warnings not to drift, not to fall away. In short, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. True Christians can't lose their salvation because God holds us. But that doesn't mean we don't have a responsibility to persevere ourselves. We do. And it's actually the very fact that God holds us that actually gives us the confidence to keep persevering, to keep working out our salvation with fear and trembling. So why don't we pray that we would? Let's pray. Father God, we do thank You that You tell us You hold us. Thank You that we are in Your hands and nothing can pry back Your fingers. Lord God, I thank You for the confidence that gives us in the Christian life. And Lord God, we ask that that would strengthen us to persevere. Help us look to Your strength and help us add to our faith goodness and perseverance and self-control and all those other things that You call us to. Help us work out our salvation with fear and trembling, we pray. We pray these things for Your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to respond to God's word.